KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
It's Friday, our Heritage Foundation update with Genevieve Wood. Genevieve, thanks for taking the time again to join us.
Great to be with you.
Well, here we are. What are we, like 18 days? Is that right? A little less than 3 weeks away?
We're getting very close. Yeah. And of course, it all depends on when you vote, too, right?
Yeah, right. Which actually, not sure I'll get out this weekend. Actually, one of my kids getting married Saturday. So, but Saturday is the expanded early voting in New Mexico.
Wow.
So if you have a place where you went to do it last time, chances are that's where it's going to be again. But you can find all that information on our website. Go to klyt.fm. In the Action Center, you'll see election information, iVoter Guide. There's a voter guide from the New Mexico Family Action Movement and Better Together New Mexico. All kinds of information, ways to register, get the sample ballot. A plethora of information. And you'll find it there. But we do hope that you're registered and or will get registered and participate in the general election November 5th or before. Gave a friend a high five this week. He posted on Facebook that he had voted, and I knew that meant that he went downtown to the county clerk's office to vote. Now, I'm not sure he voted like I might vote, but I still gave him a high five. I was like, you participated. Way to go, man.
There you go. But,
yeah. And as we prepare to participate, Genevieve, I wonder how many people were either tuned in last night for the Fox interview, Brett Baer with Vice President Kamala Harris, either that or I actually watched it afterwards on YouTube, the full interview. But there's all kinds of, talking heads covering, kind of sifting through it and different clips. But the Daily Signal, thedailysignal.com, you will find an article there, 4 takeaways from Kamala Harris's Fox News interview with Brett Baer. And Genevieve, I thought I know the 4 points that are there just in our previous talks. You're well acquainted with each of these issues, the first one being immigration. What did you think or did you catch any of the immigration topic in the interview last night?
No, I did. I mean, they covered a number of topics, many of which I'm sure those listening are familiar with. They talked about this. They talked about, providing transgender surgery for prison inmates and a whole host of issues. But they led with immigration because that tends to be the topic that is either number one or two on most voters' minds right now when they're asked what issues matter most to you. And, it was an interesting conversation because she didn't give facts. I don't like to say someone is lying, but I just have to say either she doesn't know how things have gone or she doesn't want to admit how things have gone. I mean, the reality is illegal immigration has skyrocketed since she and Joe Biden came into office. It had gone down drastically under Donald Trump. And one of the very first things they did when they came into office, and Brett Baer, the interviewer, brought this up, was, the Trump administration had what was called Remain in Mexico policy, was one example. And by getting rid of that, which is one of the very first things that Joe Biden did, that allowed people to come across the border in much faster numbers. And she just wouldn't address that when Brett Baer said, well, why did you get rid of that? Why did you, not allow, require immigrants to be detained through deportation? And she wouldn't answer the question and would just go back and somehow suggest that she and Joe Biden are dealing with a problem that Donald Trump left them. And I just don't think anybody who looks at the situation honestly can see how that's true. I mean, look, you can be for immigration. You can be for perhaps illegal. I mean, there are people who think we shouldn't have borders. Okay, if you're one of those people, then just say it. But don't have that policy and then suggest somehow that you don't. I mean, that wasn't the only issue where she just would not own up to the policies that the administration she's been a part of enacted.
Yeah, I was watching actually Charlie Kirk earlier this week. He made a real good illustration here with a student who, actually seemed to have compassion for those, who actually do need assistance and maybe actually do need asylum. They weren't just using that word. Charlie Kirk kept going back to, but illegally, you know, this is happening illegally. And he was says, yeah, but we should find a way to get them in. And he said, okay, if someone decided they just wanted to bust into your dorm room and, you know, do what they wanted, you know, what would you do? He goes, well, I'd push them out. There you go. And the guy actually, it clicked with him. And I don't think a lot of people are thinking that way. The other thing I wanted to ask you, cause I'm pretty sure I understand why the Democrats continue to say, you know, Donald Trump is the problem with immigration based on what was tried to, you know, be passed in Congress like 9 months ago. The truth is the bill that they keep referring to that they say Donald Trump encouraged lawmakers. I mean, he's not even, you know, part of the government, and they're saying that he made that not go through, which I don't know, you know, if there's truth to that or not, but wasn't that legislation also loaded with other things that would not have been something that, you know, the Republican Party would find favorable?
No, it was not going to address the issue at hand. It was not going to stop illegal immigration. It was just going to try to make more of it lawful, frankly. It was just going to open the floodgates even more. And again, let's remember, when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris came into office in 2021, they had a Democratic Congress. They controlled the House of Representatives, and they controlled the U.S. Senate. So this idea that they couldn't get some policy through if this issue was important to them, that could have been one of the very first things they did. But the reality was, the first thing they did was try to get rid of any executive orders, any government actions that was preventing illegal immigration. That's why the floodgates opened. And it's only as we've gotten closer to the next election date, and this has become a real issue among many American voters, that all of a sudden they seem concerned about it. So the facts and the reality of what the past 3.5 years have been just don't line up with what she said last night.
Okay, and let's move on with, again, we're looking through this article found at thedailysignal.com, and the article with four takeaways from last night's interview. Number two being, let me get there, transgender surgeries for prisoners, which...
This is something she's been for. When she was Attorney General of California, you've probably seen the ads on TV of her conversation with someone about who's being interviewed on this topic. And she's like, she was for it, and she was proud of the fact that she was for it. And now all of a sudden, once again, we're into the whole, well, this was already something that Donald Trump's administration was doing, which they deny that any of this happened on their watch. According to reports, the first such transgender surgery for a prison inmate happened in 2022, which of course was on the Biden and Harris administration's watch. So again, she's running from a topic that before she was adamantly for, when she was running for the Democratic nomination, and now is trying to backstep again, I believe, because she knows this is not popular with the vast majority of voters, even those who may not be opposed to transgenderism itself, but they don't think that their tax dollars ought to be paying for prison inmates to go through those kind of surgeries, and then having men who now claim they're women be in prisons with women. We've seen a lot of problems from things like that. She knows that doesn't play well. So that's, again, why I think she was backtracking on this issue.
Okay. And then just for sake of time, I'm going to move on to number three.
Sure.
That Kamala Harris's administration would not be a continuation of Biden. But when asked in a recent interview, I know that she had something apparently contrary to that.
Yes, she said just last week when she was on The View and asked, you know, what would you do differently than Joe Biden has done the past 3.5 years? And she said, quote, nothing comes to mind that, you know, I'd do differently. So on one hand,
actually,
my presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden. But just previously before, she couldn't come up with anything that she would do differently.
Well, I know. And I think it was it might have been with Steve Colbert. Or another interview, another talk show she was on, she said, well, one of the differences is I'm Kamala. And, and or she, actually she probably said Kamala.
I do my best.
I'm not Joe Biden,
obviously.
Yeah, and I'm obviously not Joe Biden. It's like, really? Okay.
Right. Yeah, well, and she said, you know, in the Bear interview last night, well, I'm going to bring my own life experiences and my professional experiences and my new ideas. Well, okay, that's fine. What are those new ideas? Like, what are the new things you're going to do that would not be a continuation of the Biden presidency? Look, she didn't have a good answer. And isn't day two of the campaign. We're, as you just noted, less than 3 weeks out from Election Day. And I still feel like she has a hard time articulating really what her vision for the country is and with specific policies to back it up.
Yeah, I actually need she gave her website to go. You know, I have an 80-page, you know, list of if I'm being transparent, I need to go and look at that. The other thing, as far as life experiences, well, she was raised by a professor who is clearly a Marxist. And you know, we've seen just from policies, things that would line up with that kind of, ideology. So heads up, you know, just, voter beware. Biden's mental faculties, this is another one. I mean, throughout his administration, not only, Kamala Harris, but others, you know, were asked about that. And, it's interesting, you know, I mean, why is she running? Why isn't he running? Is that, you know, and which I'm not sure was ever really made clear other than, you know, we were meant to receive the message that, you know, that he decided that, you know, it was time to bow out.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
I can hear it in your voice.
except maybe Kamala Harris. I don't know. Everybody knows he was asked to step aside and basically forced to step aside by the Democrat powers that be that were threatening to cut off any campaign money, because of his mental issues. And then everybody saw the debate against Donald Trump, but it wasn't just that. They'd seen numerous occasions where he was having just a very tough time communicating and being able to handle the day-to-day of the office. And look, that's not his fault. I mean, that's something, you know, that's an issue that's come upon him in the last few years. But the reality is,
right. You
know, she's been next to it. And the idea that she didn't see it, and then all of a sudden, but now she's concerned about Donald Trump's mental stability. I mean, it's kind of last minute. I think she thinks, well, maybe if we can get people to focus on. But there's no there. There's been no medical reports that have come out showing that Trump has medical issues or mental issues. So I'm not even sure why they would bring up something like this, knowing the baggage they have on their side. I mean, I can't imagine you wouldn't expect to get the follow-up question. Well, if you're questioning that, why weren't you questioning Mr. Biden about a year ago or 2 years ago? It's very odd to me that they made this a campaign issue, because it's not a good one for them.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I want to bring attention to as far as that question, when did you, notice, for her to say she noticed it, would be, well, wait a minute. If you're going to confess it, you've noticed it, then who's leading the nation?
Right.
You know, and how come that hasn't been dealt with? I mean, I think, Everyone is kind of under the, you know, well, we're just coasting now. I mean, I can't say that I have facts about, you know, his, and like, I'm actually, you brought up a good point. Listen, he's aging, and this isn't, you know, no ill thoughts towards President Biden. We hope that he has people around him that are, doing, you know, being where they need to be to assist him through this time. So we do wish him well and, wish our country well. And, you know, let's put a bow on this, you know, these 4 points and others that we, you know, that we didn't really cover. You know, how the people that are listening to this station, primarily Christian, radio listeners, that are hopefully registered to vote and hopefully going to go vote. How do they, you know, what's their takeaway here?
Well, I think that they, you know, that it's important to look at what candidates say and listen to their interviews, their media interviews, but also do their own fact checking. I mean, is somebody being honest with me? And that goes for both sides. I mean, you know, everyone tries to make their position sound the most relevant to voters now, right? But it's very important to look at what have people said in the past, and most importantly, what have they done in the past? What is the track record? And I think that's, no matter what level you're running for, most of these politicians, especially at the federal level, they have a track record. This isn't their first rodeo, so to speak. So you can go and find out what their positions have been, and then make a judgment call if you really think all of a sudden they've turned over a new leaf, or they're just saying a different thing because they know that's what voters want to hear.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I want to say about this article that you can find at dailysignal.com, and let me read the headline again. Four takeaways from Kamala Harris's Fox News interview with Bret Baier. Not only what Tyler O'Neill has provided in way of the article and bringing these four points forward, but also video clips from the interview that you can, you know, use to put it in context. Really well done, as is the work you do for us regularly. Genevieve Wood, we appreciate your time from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. And again, the news site we brought up was dailysignal.com. Genevieve, thanks again. Have a great weekend. And before you know it, we'll have an answer.
That's right. Voters will make their voices heard. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.